Those of you who has been here in the last few weeks, you know that we've been talking about a certain passage in the Bible from the book of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, specifically, there are several stories there, but there's one story that we kind of focus on, and it's called the story of the great banquet told by Jesus. It's a parable, so it's a story that Jesus told to help his disciple understand a few spiritual principles, the parable in Luke chapter 14. And it's talking about the great banquet. And we have been talking about it. I think today is the fourth time we look at this passage. And so why do we want to look at the same story again and again? I think this is where I defend my choice of wanting to talk about this particular passage, because I believe this passage, the story of the great banquet, is very important theologically, and also it will help us to live on this earth as a Christian. This story is very interesting because it tells us many, many things about how to live our life as a Christian. It has important doctrine, which simply means principle. Okay, so that's why we talk it again and again to draw. It's like you are digging into the well of water and you keep on pulling out your bucket and it is always full of fresh water. Last week we talked about a focus on the people that were invited and the fact that some people decided to refuse the invitation that the host, to just give you a quick background, those of you who are here the first time today, the story is talk about a certain person wants to have a great party, a banquet, and invited many people, and he sent his servant. We'll read about it a little bit more. But today, we will focus on the one of the character in the story, which is the servant. Last week, we focused on the invitees. Some people refuse to come, some people come, but not really people that you like to have in a party, which is the poor, the blind, the cripple, and the lame. So this week, we will turn our brain, focus on the servant, okay? So that's, I'm just giving you an outline. We will see what the servant does, and hopefully by the end of the sermon, you will agree with me that indeed this servant is an extraordinary servant. The servant did not talk very much, but you will see from what the way the servant acted in this story, you will see, yeah, that is special servant, okay? So Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24, before we read, let me pray for you. And after I pray, please do not look at your cell phone, all right? Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look at the Word of God, this one portion, and help us, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit that lead us into all truth. Help us to dig into this well so that we can draw fresh water for our soul. Thank you, Jesus. Bless everyone with the knowledge of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 says, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and dinner, pretty much, and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Then if you read, I don't want to show you anymore, just to speed things up. Those who were invited, three types of the first group, which is list A, those that the host wants to have in the party, they all refused to come. Many excuses. We talked about it last week. So then the servant come back and return and give a report to his master. And this is what they says, oh, you know, people that you invited, boss, did not want to come. And his master become furious, angry, and said, told the servant again, go quickly into the street and alleys of the town and invite this kind of people, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Just go, invite them. These people probably think that they do not deserve to come to the party, but you go ahead, bring them here. And so, after the servant had done this, so obviously the servant went, this is the second time, and he report again, there is still room for more boss. What should we do? So his master said, now go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. So the servant, you see, is being told to carry out instruction, the wish of the master. Go. The first time, got rejected. Go again, this time, to the people that, you know, very questionable, the poor and the blind and the lame. Then go the third time and then invite strangers, whoever that you can find. And in each mission, pay attention to this. In each mission, the servant is very obedient, don't you see? He just do it. He just go and carry out the instruction. It seems like almost there is a single-mindedness on the heart and mind of the servant. The reason why he exists in this story is to carry out the mission of his master. Now you think, well, all servant has to do that. What's so special about this? Well, let me tell you, not all servant do this kind of thing. You remember in Matthew chapter 25, a different parable, there is this master who wants to go away and then call his servant. There are three of them, the servant. It's called the parable of the great talents, the parable of the talents. The first servant was entrusted 10 pound or 10 bag of silver, and the second one, 5 bag of silver. The last one, 1 bag of the silver. You remember the story? Those of you who remember the story, say, yeah, I remember. Yeah? Some of you do not remember. That's okay. It's in Matthew chapter 25. You can read it. And two of the servants come back. When the master come back, the boss come back to the house, two of the servants say, boss, look, I have double what you gave me. Boss is happy. But then the third one, say this. The servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, boss, I know that you were a harsh man, kasar, orang kasar, harvesting crops you did not plant and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid I would lose my money, so I hide it in the earth, the kubur. Look, here's your money back. The third servant, did you kind of see this third servant had a bad thought about the master? This servant, the last one, have something in his heart against his master. He was given the silver to invest, but he did not want to do it. He said, I know better. Boss, you are a bad person. Before he talked to the boss, he already have it in his heart. Boss, you are a mean boss. You know, you take away something that don't belong to you, and I'm afraid that if I lost this, therefore I'm not going to just obey what you said. I'm going to do it my own way according to my interpretation of my thoughts and my heart. This servant, turns out, at the end of Matthew chapter 25, it says this kind of servant is a bad servant. So not all servant has single-mindedness. So there is a difference. Let's talk about this one servant from Luke chapter 14. Let's talk about servant. Okay? In this day and age, nobody likes to be called a servant. Everyone wants to be the boss. Everyone wants to be at the top. Don't you think? Who wants to be a servant in this place? Raise your hand. See? Okay, one person. Good. You don't know which one it is, right? I saw that though. It's rare to find this kind of servant. In fact, though, let's study a little bit about the servant. The servant in the word in Greek, which is the original language of the New Testament, your second half of the Bible, is doulos. Doulos means a servant or a bond servant. This doulos is talking about two kinds of servant. One servant is a person under the control of a king, whether that is a foreign king or their own king. It's under the control. That is a servant, like servant of King David, servant of the Philistine king. You know, that's one type of servant. But the second type of servant is someone who at one time, you have to listen to this to understand, at one time, this person is under the control of a master, and then somebody bought him out, or the master no longer need him. And then, but because of the love this servant has for the master, he refused to leave. He said, "Boss, I know that I'm a free person now, but I do not want to go anywhere, boss. I like you. I love you. I want to stay with you. I want to live under your wing. I want to live in your house." That one is also a doulos. The English word for it is bond servant. Bond servant. And when we talk about servant, the Bible clearly says that a servant is a disciple and vice versa. A disciple of Christ is a servant. That's why you will read, if you read, just go ahead and read the book of the Paul Apostle wrote. He called himself a servant. For example, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be the apostle. So, when we talk about servant in the Bible, we will see a disciple of Christ. Because those two words are interchangeable. You can say, I'm a disciple, I'm also a servant. Although the two words, of course, means different thing, but the characteristic of a servant and a disciple is the same in the Bible. Now, let me tell you one surprise when you read the story. Let me go back the... All right, so this is what we read, right? Now, let me tell you, when you read this first time, are you thinking God is the servant and, I mean, God is the master and we are all the servants? Right? Because what I just said, a disciple is a servant. That means there's a master who is our God and everybody else is the servants. But you read this carefully. Who is the servant actually? At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell many others. Let me bring you together in a thought. If you are rich, how many servants will you have? Many or just one? If you're a rich person. Many. If you want to send invitation to a lot of people, how many servants will you send? One or many? If you have many choice. To speed up the invitation process, you send out many. How many servants did he send? How many? Come on. This is English 101. He sent his servant. How many? One. Who is this servant? Who wants to make an interpretation? Who is this servant? You think that all of us is this parable is talking about? No. He's talking about one servant. Jesus Christ, the greatest servant of God. That's why it's only single. It's not plural. It's what? What is the opposite of plural? Singular. This is a parable when Jesus actually talked about himself. Who invite us to come to a party? Jesus. This is where you will be right when you answer, Jesus, like the Sunday school teacher, you know. Who is doing great thing? Jesus. Who can do miracle? Jesus. Who invite us? Jesus. If you answer Jesus, for sure you're right. Jesus. This is very surprising, actually, because he's talking about himself. So let's see what treatment the servant has. Because if you see the treatment the servant received and his response, you will learn a thing or two about discipleship. And earlier I said, why we want to talk about this? Why do you want to hear this? This is important because of this. This whole parable is talking about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom of God. So it is very important for you and I, if we want to be Christian, be a disciple, it's important for us to understand this. It's just like this. My wife just went through processes to get her United States citizen. So in order to get the citizenship, she had to do several things. Number one, she had to take the test. She needs to learn the history of the country and, you know, when is the Declaration of the Independence, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, when is the Civil War, and then until today's event, who is the president, you know, who is the mayor of Pleasant Hill. You don't know because you don't care, and it's okay because you are not, you know, going to the test. But my wife, when she want to get the citizenship, she has to learn all this. And then on the day, she is called, and then she took the test, and after she was proven to be passing, getting the passing grade, then she will stand in front of the judge or civic leader and make an oath. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to for which the republic is stand, something like that. So my point is this. If you are going to live on earth as a member of the kingdom of God, and if you are going to be a part of that kingdom eternally after your time on earth is up, it's good for you to know the rules and regulation and expectation of the country that you will belong to. In this case, we are talking about the kingdom of God. So it is in your best interest to listen well. How to live on earth. Okay, now let's look at this disciple. Various treatment. I'm going to give you all three, but one by one. The first one, did you realize this disciple is always like being told, go here, go there, invite these people everywhere. Right? And did you ever hear a complaint? Boss, they rejected me, boss. On the first mission, he was asked to go on a mission to invite the A-list, people that the boss really want to have present in the party. But these people didn't want to come. And then the second one, did you realize that he was sent now to the poor people? But never at one time he complained, boss, give me something better lah, boss, some other job. Why send me to people that reject me? And if you read this thing correctly, you will get the sense how obedient and faithful this person is. This servant is. Ni orang nggak complain. This is extraordinary. This is extraordinary person to have the single-mindedness purpose in life, which is to make his boss happy. By the way, I am not talking about people that is outside of the household. I am talking about the servant in the house. Now, if you want to talk about disciples, I am talking about disciples. I'm not talking about people out there walking. I am talking about disciple in the house. How many people in the house have this kind of single-mindedness? Think about that. I think about myself. We so used to people that is unfaithful, that we think that is a norm. Ah, biasalah orang datang ke gereja telat. By the way, I'm not saying this to offend anybody, because this morning I was late on the morning church. I'm talking about all of us, to bring a consciousness to all of us sometime how unfaithful we are. And by the way, when we see people not faithful because they don't come on time to church, we said, ah, everybody do that, you know, just like. We're so used to people being not faithful that we think that is the norm. Yeah, everybody make mistake, everybody have that kind of bad habit. But that is what makes this story extraordinary, because very, very faithful person. We are so used to the unfaithful behavior, and it becomes normal to us. We are seeing even Christian, by the way, this is talking about disciple in the house, unfaithful in coming to church. When I feel like it, I will come. When I don't feel like it, everybody is doing that. Unfaithful in their ministry. When I have time, I will serve. When I don't have time, what do you expect? Unfaithful to their spouse. Pornography. Website that is not clean. Your eyes, your heart. Unfaithful among, I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about a servant in the house. Unfaithful to God. This is the way the world live, and we become so used to, yeah, everybody do that, everybody. What do you expect, Pastor? Life is tough, and we just have to do whatever necessary. That is what makes this particular servant very extraordinary. This is one faithful and obedient servant, faithful in his ministry, faithful because he was given a task, he report back, boss. It doesn't matter, the result is not good. The first mission he was sent, the people did not want to come. He just simply said, boss, the people that you invited, they did not want to come. The second thing, look at the treatment this servant get. Number one, told to go here and there. And if you are the person, if you are the servant, told to go here and there, I think you will react. Boss, just one time tell me everything. Why? Tell me one and then tell me second and then tell me three. I'm not stupid, you know. Just tell me everything. Why you micromanage me, boss? I really appreciate the worship team. Let's just give them appreciation. You know, Michelle and Alus. I don't know if Alus played this morning. Play already in the morning. Last week they did the same. They were being told, come to Pinol, come to San Ramon. Morning, afternoon, serve. They did not complain. And there are many, many like you, like that, you know, among you. I know that. But I'm just bringing this topic so that we are aware, right? We have to be honest, right? Do you expect your pastor to always, you know, say good thing about you and make you happy? Or do you want me to just tell you the truth, the word of God? Which one is your choice? I think it's good for us to just hear the truth. Amen. Not just look, hey, you're going to be blessed because you know Jesus. God bless your study. God bless. Of course, he will do that, but that's not the only thing in Christianity. Amen. I need to tell you the truth. You take it home and you think about it. Number two, look, this servant kasihan sih bener. Did you realize after he come back the first time and then report, boss, they don't want to come, boss. You know what happened? The boss get angry. Man, why? They don't understand. Why do they know what? I mean, the servant did nothing wrong. But the boss get angry. You know, of course, not get angry at him, right? But when you stand in front of an angry person, do you feel comfortable? No, right? You want to go away. You want to run, right? Although you, but why the servant did not say anything? Why the servant just go ahead and boss said, I'm angry. Now, invite the poor, invite the lame, invite the cripple, invite the blind. Go and do it. Servant, okay, boss, just go. This is an extraordinary servant. Now, you want to know then, right? You ask question. What makes this servant able to do this? It is this. Because he understands the heart of the master. The master do all that because of love. And he loves the master. He's a bond servant. He's a bond servant who choose to stay to become a servant because he loves the master. That's why, no problem. If the servant does not love the master, the servant will react. Think about those of you who are in ministry. You're in ministry. You are being dimarahin, quote-unquote, sama pemimpinnya. You know, the leader get angry. Man, you are in ministry, but you are late as an usher today. We need to be excellent. You know, the boss of the ministry, the usher head. You need to be excellent in serving the Lord, in serving the people. But you are late. People come, but you don't greet. Let's do better. The head ushers seems to be a little bit angry. What is your reaction as the ushers? Who are you? Why you talk to me like that? This is a volunteer job, you know. You don't pay me. Right? That's normal, right? To just act like that. This servant says nothing. Just do it. Just do it. That is the mark of true servant. A mark of a servant. You look at the street. Let's just go do the last one, okay? How many likes to deal with street people? Ooh. How many don't like to deal with street people? Let me see your hand. Okay, only 4 of you do not like. The rest of you like. Praise the Lord. This is the church of the holy people. Really compassionate people. Wow, I need to learn. I mean, to be honest, I have a problem. You know, when I come near the homeless people, and I have to be honest, I'm a pastor, okay, but I still have many, many weaknesses. One of which is, man, this person smell, this person looks scary. I feel threatened my life. You know, my life is threatened if I come close to this person because I do not know what this person is going to do. I mean, this is all stereotype. Look, the servant has to deal with street people. What we are talking about here is the heart of a servant is always willing to lay down his life for others. How difficult, but how special it is, don't you think? That's why the mission of this church, IFJ Penol. Ask the person next to you, do you know what the mission of the church is? Ask, see how many know. Do you know what the mission of the church is? No, right? If you're new here, you don't know. So that's understandable. The mission of the church is this sentence. People is our mission. People. It's about the people. It's about the need of the people. That's what we are talking about as the disciple of Christ. Servanthood, discipleship deals with people. And at heart is our willingness to go out of our way to meet a need in someone's life. Hello? Do you just understand and hear what I just said? Discipleship is about the heart that is willing to go out of our way to meet someone's need. That is Christianity. That is true Christianity. If you claim to be Christian, that is what you need to do. Amen. So this tree, did you see that the treatment that the servant received and his response reflect a mark of a true disciple. Seorang murid yang perfect, seorang murid, seorang servant, hamba yang extraordinary. Jesus himself, he is a servant and our example. So let me quickly, in the next 5 minutes, if you can concentrate, then the question is this. If you listen about the mark and example of good servanthood, you will ask this question. Pastor, okay, so you have laid down what is the mark of a great servant. The next question, Pastor, is how do I become that kind of servant? So that is a fair question. This is how you do it. The Word of God, not too far from Luke chapter 14, which we just read, is Luke 16. He said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So the secret of being a faithful person is take care of that little thing that God has entrusted in your life. That little thing that God trusts you to do. In Indo, they have a perfect peribahasa or idiom. Little-little become hilly. You know what it means? You take care of the small thing. Little-little then become hilly. Sedikit-sedikit, lama-lama jadi bukit, gitu. Little-little, you become a hill. You start small. Then, as you faithfully do it, you will build it up. Over time, it builds up. Let me give you an example of small thing that God already trusts you that you can do today. Small thing, such as coming to church every week, faithfully. That is simple. God says, God call us, come to church every Sunday because it is holy. Sabbath is holy. You come faithfully like a servant being called. That is something simple. But then, of course, there is thing that you have to manage in your life because your schedule, sometimes you have to study because on Monday there is an exam, there is homework that you have to do and many, many things that you have to do. That's why you have to become a wise servant. You take care of scheduling. Make sure everything is done so that on Sunday, you can be faithful in coming to church and worship God. That is a small thing. Small thing like being on time to church. That is small thing. Again, this is not a condemnation to all of you because I have to admit this morning I was late. Things happen. But we all try to be the faithful servant. The church here starts at 2:15. You come at 2:10 so that you can prepare our heart to worship. 5 minutes, we already enter into the presence of God and saying, asking God, God, please, God, I'm here to worship you. Please fill my heart if you are sad or if you have problem in your heart. God, I expect that as the Holy Spirit present as we sing praise and worship, I will find release in your presence. That is faithful in small thing. Small thing like helping everyone so the church run well. Helping with refreshment. Helping with picking up garbage or trash if you see one. Just helping to make sure that everything goes well. It's a small thing. If you want to know what a great servant and disciple, it does not start by, oh, one day, you know, suddenly you preach to 1 million people or 100,000 people. Oh, great man of God. You start small because that is how God is training you. Little, little, then become hilly, hilly. Okay? Small thing become great thing. You be faithful in little thing. Small thing like saying good morning to your spouse. If you are married, I love my wife. Is she here? Okay, then I can praise her. In the morning, wake up, look at me, smile. Good morning, hon. Oh, you melt, you know. And she does it consistently. Small thing, just good morning. Small thing, thank you. Every time I drove her to supermarket, grocery, we arrive home, open the door to go out, bring the grocery in. Thank you, hon, for driving. Small thing. Small thing. Have you ever thanked your parents sending you here? Of course, right? Once in every 4 years, you thank him, her. No, you thank her and them often. Thank you, pa. Thank you, ma, for sending me to school. You know, I know it takes a lot for you to have all the money to send me here. It's a small thing. The small thing makes you great disciple. Okay, that's how you start. Small thing like praying for your family. Just a simple prayer for your family. Small thing, even those of us who have a family, small thing in saving money. Put some money in your saving. Don't spend it all. Savings, little, little become big hill. All right? Small thing, like on time to work. If you are an employee, you be on time on work. That's small thing. If you are an employee, do not waste time when you are working. Don't browse Instagram or Facebook. You be faithful in little thing. Small thing. It all starts. Start small. Continue to be consistent. You will be the great servant of God. Hallelujah. How many can understand the word of God? What is the reward if you are faithful? And this is the end. Not the end of my preaching, but the end of our lives. It says this, the master, when your time is up, okay, try to be awake 2 more minutes. When your time is up, after you finish your life on earth, your days are over. Now time, by the way, just in case if you do not realize, your mortality rates as a human being is 100%. Okay, mortality means death. Death rate, all of you one day will die. And this is what you expect when you die. Let me tell you, you will finish your life, and by the grace of God, if you believe in Jesus, then Jesus will greet you. The Master will greet you at the door of heaven. And this is one sentence that you and I, as the servant of God, as a disciple of God, long to hear. This is what he wants to say to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. When you hear that, you said, I raise hallelujah. That's what you will say. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little thing. I will put you in charge of many things. This is the story of Jesus, by the way, the great servant. In Philippians chapter 2, he said, Jesus came as a servant and gave his life as a ransom for many. And that is why God has raised him up and put all the authority under heaven under his feet. He was raised up, all the authorities in his feet, and he is in charge of everything, pretty much. And then this is the word says, come and share, dibagi. Sama-sama menikmatin. Come and share your master's happiness. Let me invite the singers and musicians. I just hope that this simple word, you can understand. This is exciting to you if you really serious and focus on your life of faith as a Christian. And I know that what I just shared to many of you seems a little bit impossible. Pastor, you just said it's Jesus. That's why he can do that. Jesus is the great servant. But he called us to be the servant. Let's all stand. And if you think that is impossible, let me tell you and encourage you. It is not impossible. Why? Because you get help. The Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, he lives in the church. He lives in your life. And the reason why he is here is so that God's people, disciples, servants, is able to live according to God's will. That is the reason why. If you say to him, God, so hard to be a servant, I got so many things going on, and sometimes my mind and my brain gets ahead of me, and a lot of time I disagree with you. I want to do things my way, and I'm not faithful in little thing. I fail in doing little thing. Let me tell you this. You tell Holy Spirit, you tell God, God, help me. I need your help. But your heart has to be right. Your heart has to be saying, yes, God, I see that you are giving me an example through your word how to become a faithful, obedient servant. I want to do that. I want to be like that. Help me, Holy Spirit. And then the word of God says, if you ask, he will give it. James, do not have double-minded. Have a single-hearted. I want what God wants to give to me. And if that means to be the servant, so be it, God. I want to be your servant. Think about this word as we close with the next song. I pray that the Holy Spirit speak to you to bring new level of understanding in your life as a Christian.